Blog Talk Radio.
Has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, October the 4th, 2020. Hallelujah. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I am joined here this morning with my beautiful Spirit Alive family in the persons of Evangelist Michelle Scott, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, hallelujah, Apostle Edwin Holloway, his lovely wife, Prophetess Holloway, hallelujah, and of course, last but not least this morning is our wonderful Apostle Zeta Flowers. Now, we just pray that we are so glad that you have joined us here today, and we pray that you will hear something that will edify your very soul. Hallelujah. At this time, we are going to go to the Lord in opening prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come now before your throne of grace, just thanking you, glorifying you, magnifying you, because this truly is a day that you have made. And Father God, we just want to thank you for allowing us to come together, hallelujah, and worship you in spirit and in truth. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would receive our praise. We just pray right now that you would receive our worship. And we pray in the name of Jesus that your people will be edified as you are glorified. And Father God, if there's someone that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that today would be the day that they change, hallelujah, their eternal address. We pray this and all other things in your precious and holy Son, Jesus' name, amen. And to God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him some praise this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Make it crystal clear.
Take
see, I've been picked out to be picked on. Talked about out my friend's mouth. I've been beat down. Till you turn my life around. Seems like I always fall short of being worthy. I ain't good enough, but he still loves me. I ain't no superstar. Spotlight ain't shining on me.
No.
If I ain't good enough, but he still loves me. Love me.
I used to wake up some days and wish I'd stayed asleep.
Why can't she get
up? 'Cause I went to bed on top of the world. Today the world's on top of me. Now everybody's got opinions.
They
ain't been in my position.
They don't care.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just bless your holy name, Father God. You're so loving and kind. You're so forgiving, Father God. And even when we fall short, we can come to you and repent and know that you still love us. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. Each and every Sunday morning, we ask the most beloved mother of the church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and read us a beautiful meditational reading from the powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince. My mother does a beautiful job. She reads with conviction, and I'm sure that it will touch your heart and your very soul. So please give your undivided attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell as she brings you this morning's meditational reading. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. Good morning, everyone. As Bishop has said, the meditational reading comes from the devotional Destined to Reign by Pastor Joseph Prince. The powerful lessons from this devotional reads as follows. Boast in God's grace for you is our title this morning. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians 1 and 31. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, if someone asks you, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Sure. You would probably tell him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, wouldn't you? Well, a rich one, young ruler asked Jesus the same question. But instead of telling the man to believe in him, Jesus gave him the law. Read Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. Jesus saw that the young ruler lived his life taking pride in his ability to keep the law to earn salvation and the favor of God. But because of his love for the man, Jesus had to show him that those who live by the law must realize that their self-effort cannot save them. He therefore reminded him, you know the commandments. Do you commit adultery? Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Honor your father and your mother. The young ruler showed that his trust was in his law-keeping when he replied, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. So Jesus had to tell him, one thing you lack, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and come and follow me. When the young ruler heard that, he walked away sorrowful. When we boast of having kept the law, it will always point out something we like or have failed to obey. The law is so holy and perfect that if we don't keep even one iota of it, it has no choice but to judge and curse us. Galatians 3 and 10. That is what the law was designed to do. God does not want us to boast in our abilities to keep the law. If we are to have confidence in anything at all, if we are to boast in anything at all, it is in the grace of God. Only His grace can completely keep, save, heal, deliver, and bless us. So let's not boast in what we have done or are able to do, but boast in His grace for us, that He is our strength, health, favor, prosperity, wisdom, hope, salvation, and glory. That is how we will see ourselves enjoying our inheritance of abundant life. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of His holy and righteous word. The thought for the day, only His grace, not our works, can save, keep, heal, deliver, and bless us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
and I pray and I pray. Well, and I ask her wisdom,
teach mother to pray.
I pray and I pray, I pray that your will be done.
Pray.
Well, that your will be
he
done.
He needs to learn to pray.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That was a prayer. OJ's, hallelujah. I love to hear them sing that song. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah.
Great.
You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. Of course, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I am joined by my beautiful Spirit Alive family in the persons of Evangelist Michelle Scott, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle and Prophetess Holloway, hallelujah, Evangelist Kathy Horton, and of course, our Apostle, hallelujah, Apostle Zeta Flowers. All right, it is now prayer time here at the Praise Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And we want you to know that when we pray here, we pray expecting God to move. We stand with our brothers and sisters all over the world. We are just standing in the gap for those who might not even know how to pray. But we are praying, and we will continue to pray for the nation, for the people, for the world. Hallelujah. So at this time, I'm going to ask our anointed apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers, to come and lead us in this morning's prayer. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all this morning. We're going to go into prayer, and I'm asking that everyone with presence on the line, listening in, that they would bow their heads in prayer as we go to God. Hallelujah. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you with thanksgiving. We come to you, Lord, lifting you up, praising your holy name, thanking you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. We thank you for allowing us to see another day. We thank you for waking us up this morning, allowing us to get up. We thank you, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for even for the task that you have placed before us, Lord, the things that you have called us to do. Oh, Father God, help us today in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we just lift up the world situation right now. We know the whole world is in a crisis situation in so many ways. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would move mightily across the nation. In the name of Jesus, oh God, so many are suffering. Hallelujah. Some are suffering from persecution. Hallelujah. Yes. We lift up the persecuted church today all over in different countries, Lord, where Christianity is not popular. And we just pray, Lord, that you will touch those, hallelujah, that are sold out for you, that committed their lives over to you, Lord. They are being persecuted. Their families are being, all kinds of things are being done to them. And we just pray, Lord, that you will have your hands of protection upon them, that you would bless them, that you would surround them with your presence, Lord, that you would help them to know, God, hallelujah, that you're in this, hallelujah, that you're with them as they go through, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you will help them and that they will be able to continue on serving you, hallelujah, in the way that they have been. Hold back the hand of the enemy, in the name of Jesus,
Lord.
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Lord, remove those apart from them, hallelujah, that are causing the persecution. Hallelujah. We come against that spirit of hatred right now.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we come against it right now. We command that the spirit go in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, that your people will no longer be affected in that way. Hallelujah. That they will be free to serve you. Hallelujah. Free to live for you, even in their own country.
Yes.
In their own places of residence, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Their churches, hallelujah, the underground churches, and wherever these churches are, Lord, protect them from the enemy. We lift up those,
yes,
Lord, that are sick and in the hospital, hallelujah, those that are sick at home recuperating. We pray, Lord, that you will go to them in the name of Jesus. You will touch them.
Touch Jesus.
Hallelujah. Those of us that are called, we pray that you will use us, Lord. Hallelujah. In a mighty way. Hallelujah. Recovery. In Jesus' name. That we might pray for them, those that we know about and those that we don't know about. Hallelujah. That we will pour out, hallelujah, our prayers for them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those that we're sending out, Lord, I pray that you will protect them in the name of Jesus. As they go out, hallelujah, to continue to do the work of the gospel, I pray, Lord, that your hand of protection be upon them, Lord, as they go. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And we lift up those that are still being affected by COVID-19. Because they're on the rise. Hallelujah. And again, hallelujah, in our cities, in our states. In the name of Jesus, Lord, remember them in Jesus' name. Touch, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Other kinds of diseases, hallelujah, that are creeping in. And those, Lord, that have been affected in the fires, hallelujah, we pray for them, Lord. We pray for those that have,
Lord. Touch Jesus.
Have losses from the fire, hallelujah, of all kinds. And we pray, Lord, that you would help them, that you would go to their aid, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that are continually fighting the fires, for the firemen, hallelujah, and all of those that are connected with that, Lord, and helping to put out the fires. We pray, Lord, that you will help them in Jesus' name, that you would protect them.
Cover them, Lord.
That you would protect them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we lift up children everywhere that are suffering from abuse.
Everywhere, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Human trafficking. We pray for them,
Lord.
There will be a release, Lord, that you will continue to in the midst of that, Lord, and many more children will be released for this kind of suffering, from this kind of suffering. All God bless them. And we pray for the women that are suffering from domestic violence.
Hallelujah.
We've been hearing that it is on the rise. And so, Lord, we pray that you would intervene in this situation.
Yes, Jesus.
Name. Hallelujah. That you will save them, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's been some that have been even killed just recently. And so we pray, Lord, that you will protect them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you have already done. We thank you for those, Lord, that have already been released. We pray now to the prisons and to the jails. And
Lord,
that many will come to know you and be saved in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, bring them out of bondage. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name.
Yes,
help them
to
know that they can be free in you, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, that they can live for you. Hallelujah, that they don't have to go back to where they came from and the things that they used to do. So we pray,
Lord,
for those that are in bondage. We pray, Lord, that there will be a... Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And we also lift up our unsaved loved ones. We lift up unsaved people everywhere. Hallelujah. We ask, Lord, that you would move mightily in the name of Jesus, that you will draw souls unto you, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, that they will come to you and come to know you in the pardoning of their sins and have a relationship with you, God. We pray that that will take place, Lord, in numbers,
yes,
all
Jesus.
Across the land, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We pray, too, Lord, that you would raise up others to pray. Hallelujah, that you will
yes.
raise other intercessors, Lord, that they will stand strong and they will pray, Lord,
yes,
no matter
Jesus.
What. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, that they will not hold back. In Jesus'
yes.
name, hallelujah. We also lift up the political leaders.
Yes.
We lift up the president of the United States in the name of Jesus, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
He's been affected with COVID, and so is his wife. And so, Lord, we lift them up also in
yes,
the name of
Jesus.
In Jesus' name. We lift up your political leaders everywhere. Hallelujah.
Yes,
including
Lord.
Those be coming into office following the election. We pray, Lord, hallelujah, that in this election that there will be many, Lord, that will know you, hallelujah, that will be
yes.
coming into office, hallelujah, that it will be making, that yes. it will make a great difference in the name of Jesus. And,
yes.
and Lord, also lift up Spirit of Life Ministries this morning.
Bless
we
you.
Lift, Lord, we lift up this ministry, and we lift up Bishop Shirlene Cook, the leader of this ministry.
Bless you.
Hallelujah.
Bless you.
We just pray
thank
for her
you.
This morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen her. Hallelujah. And that you
thank
will
you,
continue
Lord
to
Jesus.
Her. Hallelujah. In her position, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We lift up all of the servant leaders. All.
Yes,
all
Jesus.
Of them, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Remember us this morning. Hallelujah. We
yes,
all stand
Jesus, touch.
Hallelujah. We're not exempt. Hallelujah. From anything. Hallelujah.
No,
but
amen.
Oh, that you are the one. Hallelujah. That you are the one that protects us. You are the one that heals
yes.
us. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You are the one that works things out for us. Hallelujah. No matter what the situations are. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We know that we can depend upon you. And so we look to you this morning.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you. We lift up those that are listening in, and we ask, Lord, that you would just
yes.
bless them. The word will penetrate, that the word will do what it's sent out to do in Jesus'
yes.
holy name. And we thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Let the church of God say amen. Hallelujah. Okay,
amen.
Keep praying. Good. Thank you, Jesus.
Want you to touch me, Lord? Ooh, Lord, fix me. To a story about a situation. Some drama with a lady. She was stripped to the ground, cause she was messing around. But all of her accusers, they all were having something. Jesus looked up at them and said, you all got your sins. She knew that this would be the moment that her soul would be forgiven. She said, tell my story. I was in a situation. At the church on Monday, it was looking funny. I couldn't see my way through when every payment was due. Now I look back and wonder, hey, just how I made it over. And now I'm justifying. He had always provided from the top to the bottom. He's the answer to the problem when you.
God, it is now time for this morning's message. So if you would please retrieve your Bibles if you haven't already done so and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 8. We will be looking at verses 1 through 11, the Gospel of John chapter 8, and we will be looking at verses 1 through 11. I'd just like to take a moment to say good morning to my beautiful Kingdom family. And I don't know about you, but I am recharged and ready to go this morning. Oh, hallelujah. I'm still praising God for everything that we heard from every person during the Resurge Conference. And my soul is still being blessed. So, Apostle Zeta, I just want to thank you again for a beautiful job. Well done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11 is going to be our scripture for today. But before I begin, I would like to start with the word of prayer as always. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace. I ask in the name of Jesus that I decrease so that you might increase. Step into my body of clay, Father God, and use me to bless your people. I pray in the name of Jesus that your people will be edified as you are glorified. And if someone does not know you in the pardon of their sin, it is my fervent prayer, Father God, that today would be the day that they would change their eternal address and make you their Lord and their Savior. I pray this in your holy and righteous your son Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Today we are going to move along on our journey of close encounters of the Christ kind. And today we're going to be talking about the woman taken in adultery and her encounter with Christ Jesus. Now, one of the most familiar and most beloved passages in the Bible is in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, saints of God, those wonderful words of love and hope expresses how God feels toward mankind. And while we know this verse and we find great inspiration in it, it is the lesser known verse that follows that I want to draw your attention to this morning. Because John 3:17 says, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, I think that perhaps the truth of this verse cannot be seen as clearly anywhere else in the Bible as it can be seen in this morning's encounter with Christ. In John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, we are introduced to a woman who experienced the depths of God's love in such a way that she was instantly changed. Her life hung in the balance. Condemnation and the death penalty was hanging over her head in a dramatic way. But Jesus offered the woman her only ray of hope. So now, let's read the passage, and we're going to see what happens. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, and the Word of God reads as follows. Jesus went out unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taking an adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her, the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his righteous and holy word.
Amen.
Now, thanks. As with all of the encounters we studied, I want us to allow our imaginations to travel back so that we are all standing there with this woman and Jesus. I want us to look through the lens of Scripture and watch as this story unfolds. Now, Jesus went across to Mount Olives, but he was soon back in the temple again, and a large crowd followed him. Can't you just picture Jesus sitting on a stone or a set of steps with the people sitting around his feet, all circled around them so they can get a better view? And as he was teaching, the scribes and the Pharisees came up to him with this woman. Now, the scribes were a society of men who spent their days making copies of the Old Testament. They spent their time copying and recopying, learning and memorizing. So one day, they would be eventually become teachers of it. Now, they knew the Old Testament front and back, inside and out, just like the Pharisees who have come with them. So in walked the scribes and the Pharisees, who, of course, were out to destroy Jesus. Now, we don't know much about this woman other than she had been caught in the very act of adultery. And I know I don't have to explain that to anybody this morning. But I can picture her with a disheveled look about her. Tired and yet anxious. She had probably been drugged from her bed, her hair in a mess, wrapped in a sheet or a blanket. Now, we don't know how they might have emotionally tormented her in the hours leading up to this moment. But we can imagine the shame and the embarrassment she must have felt as these men paraded her around, speaking openly about her adultery, and now dragging her out into the temple in front of this crowd of people who are sitting in front of Jesus. These religious leaders brought this woman to Jesus in all of her shame-filled, humiliating circumstances. She was held against her will, a prisoner under the custody of the religious police, who caught her involved with a man, not her husband, in the very act of adultery. Now, as she stands there listening and waiting, with all those eyes in the crowd watching her, the scribes and the Pharisees ask Jesus what ought to be done to her. You see, they were trying to set a trap for Jesus because they knew very well that Mosaic law demanded that she be put to death. So if Jesus said, let her go, then he would seem to break the law of Moses. If he said, execute her for the crime of adultery, then Jesus would seem harsh and perhaps cruel. Also, he would break Roman law because the Romans had taken the right of official execution for religious offenses away from the Jews. Now, these religious leaders, these wretched men as they were, used this woman as a weapon against Jesus. They presented her as a sinner before Jesus, but ignored their own sin in the matter. You see, they cared nothing about true righteousness, for it was evident that they carefully arranged both the adulterous act and her arrest. They claimed that the woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Yet they did not bring the guilty man before Jesus. It's possible that the man was one of them, and they simply used the woman as a weapon or a pawn in their conflict against Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, beloved, adultery is not the kind of offense that can be committed by one person in solitude. They knew that. We knew that, and Jesus knew that. So if she was caught red-handed, how was it that her guilty partner was allowed to escape? The penalty under the law for this crime was to be stoned to death. But adultery is so common today that we may have a hard time understanding this. But let me tell somebody this morning, adultery is a deadly chosen way of life. It will get you nowhere. You see, in those days, saints, they didn't call it an affair as we do today. In the Bible, adultery is sin, and it was a crime against both man and God. It was a capital offense. So God said to stone to death anybody guilty of that. Should we stone her, they asked Jesus. Now, they had been wondering all night what he would do. If Jesus says yes, then he loses the support of the people, and it gives them a legal accusation to make against them in their courts. If Jesus says no, then he openly denies the authority of God's law, which, again, is cause for accusation against him. Jesus is God, so he cannot deny his own law. So what will he do? Now, it says, you know, I can just sense the smug little looks on those little pinched faces of those men because, see, they thought they had Jesus trapped. But then our Lord and Savior Jesus does something quite odd. He gets down on the dirt, completely ignoring the men, and begin writing or drawing something in the dirt. Now, this was a careful and deliberate response from Jesus. You see, instead of making an immediate verbal response, he stooped down. Then he wrote on the ground with his finger, presumably in the dirt on the ground. Now, let me tell you something, saints. Stoop down indicates humility. You see, Jesus didn't react with anger or immediate outrage. He didn't scream at the woman or those who had brought the woman to him. But Jesus paused. And he stooped down. You see, stoop down is a lowly posture. He was identifying with the humiliation of this woman. Jesus did what he could to identify with, care for, and ease the embarrassment of this woman. One may say this story illustrates the great problem. How can God show love and grace to a sinner without being unjust, without breaking his own law? It's simple. He does it by first identifying with a sinner in their lowly condition. Huh. But again, these smug little men thought they had Jesus on the rope. So they kept pressing him for an answer. Yes or no, Jesus, do we stone her according to the law of Moses or not? Jesus finally gets up and says to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Yes, see, what Jesus did then was he exposed the common sin, that desire to punish the sins of others while ignoring your own sin. See, King David was an example of this when Nathan the prophet told him the story of a man who stole and killed the pet lamb of another man, as recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Mm-hmm. Now, if we must look at the sins of others, we must be aware that we too have sinned. There is still a place for exposing and rebuking and directly dealing with the sins of others in God's family, but you've got to know something. You've got to understand it must be done with love. It must always be done with a heart that recognizes itself as a forgiven sinner. So when done right, confronting sin is done more often with tears and a broken heart than with anger and condemnation. Again, Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Jesus seemed to do everything he could to calm the excitement and the tension at the scene, probably out of concern for the woman's dignity and safety. But again, Jesus wrote on the ground. He didn't stare down the accusing men in an act of intimidation, although he could have. Jesus did everything in this situation to make things less tense, not more tense. He did not try to change these people through intimidation. Jesus continued to care about the shame of the woman and did what he could to ease it. Because let me tell you something this morning. Shame can serve a helpful purpose, but I want you to know that God never intends for shame to be a permanent condition. Mm-hmm. Verse 9 says, then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. The people heard what Jesus said, and they were convicted by what they heard. You see, seemingly it wasn't what Jesus wrote, though what he wrote may have had something to do with what he said. But Jesus, when he spoke, they were convicted by their conscience. But now, I have to give them credit. These men's conscience was not dead or burned over. At least when Jesus spoke, they had the good sense to hear him, not only with their ears, but with their heart. See, they were still able to be convicted by their conscience. They were now more aware of their sin than the sin of the woman. So they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. We understand why they left. They were convicted by their conscience. It's not immediately clear why they left in order, the oldest even to the last. Well, perhaps the oldest left first because they most easily understood that Jesus was talking about them, okay? And the word proclaims that when Jesus finally did get up again, all the men were gone. We assume that the crowd had left by now, too. And it was just Jesus and the woman. And he asked her, where are your accusers? Didn't any of them condemn you, he said. She looked at Jesus, and I can just imagine the tears running down her face as she says, no man, Lord. And then he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. What a beautiful, awesome encounter. Here's a woman whose life was on the line, but then she encounters Jesus as she walks away free. Now, certainly there are questions that are raised during this passage. Where's the man who was with her? Were these men waiting in the room? What was Jesus writing in the dirt? Those are all good questions, but they're all totally irrelevant this morning, because what matters is that we recognize ourselves in this story and we learn the lessons that God has for each one of us. Now, remember last week's encounter with the man lying by the pool of Bethesda? And remember how I talked about there were things that we all needed in order to worship God and to love God in spirit and in truth? We talked about we must encounter Christ in our hopelessness and helplessness. The man by the pool was in a hopeless, helpless situation. He couldn't heal himself, and he couldn't get into the pool. Wasn't this woman in a helpless, hopeless state? She was in a helpless and hopeless situation as the men who had set her up now condemned her. There wasn't any question about her guilt because she was caught in the act. They made sure of that, and the law called for her death, and there wasn't anything she could do about it. Listen to Leviticus 20 and 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, if that's not clear enough, Deuteronomy 22 and 22 says, if a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. So we can see by the holy word that this woman deserved to die because of her adultery, her crime, her sin against God and man. So are we any different? What does the Bible say? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no question about our guilt. We were born into sin, and we commit sin on a daily basis sometimes. Paul said that the whole world is guilty before God. It amazes me that people can think that they don't sin or they haven't ever sinned. All you got to do is go through the Ten Commandments and you'll find out that you're guilty, guilty, guilty. In 1 John 1 and 8, and then verse 10, the Apostle John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Thanks to God we sin. We don't want to sin. We don't like sinning, but we sin. And there aren't any scribes and Pharisees in our lives today, but we do have an adversary, the devil, Satan, and he spends all his days looking at our lives. He's just lying in wait, just like those wretched little Pharisees and scribes. And every time he catches us in the act of sin, whether it's adultery or just a little white lie, he brings us into the presence of Jesus and tries to expose our guilt. Now, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to recognize that you stand guilty before God, and there's nothing that you can say in your defense. You're a sinner. Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we can stand guilty, just like that woman. Remember what those men said? She deserves to die. She broke the law. What do you say, Jesus? Let me tell you something. We too deserve to die, and we will. We're going to die a physical death, and our bodies will go the way of the grave. But that's not the kind of death Paul was talking about. He was talking about a spiritual death. He was talking about eternal separation from God in the lake of fire we call hell. Yes, hell is a place. And if we don't get real, get right, and be ready, we could find ourselves there. Because that's where we all deserve to go, because we're all guilty before God as sinners. Hopeless and helpless. That's our condition today. So what if we're saved? Can we consider ourselves to be safe because we're saved? The fact of the matter is we are safe. But what I want us to look at is this. What is our attitude about it? And why do we think we're safe? Now, that leads us to the second lesson that we talked about last week, and it applies to this week. When we encounter Jesus in our hopelessness and our helplessness, hallelujah, we need to worry not, because an encounter with Christ is an encounter with grace. Remember last week? That man had done nothing to merit God's favor or love. Jesus just walked up and healed the man. You see, every time someone encounters the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an encounter of grace. The woman deserved death, but she got life. She deserved to be condemned, but she was set free. She hadn't done anything to deserve what she got. That's why we call it grace. What is grace? Grace is getting something you don't deserve. She sinned and deserved to die, but she got life. She was guilty and deserved to be condemned, but she was set free. Brothers and sisters, friends, if you're without Christ in this world and you've never given your life to him in salvation and you've never trusted him and you never made a decision for him, then you stand guilty and condemned. But the word of God says that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if the wages of sin is death, what hope does a man have in that condition? I said you and I are helpless and hopeless. So what can we do? Now, in our story in John 8, Jesus pardons the woman, and she walks away forgiven and free. What about you? Remember what I said, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But you need to know that grace is a funny thing. Grace is you getting something that you don't deserve. But God doesn't force it on you. You have to accept it. It's a gift. It's like this. You're standing before the Lord in court, guilty and condemned. Your sentence is harsh. First you're going to die, then you're going to go to hell, and then you're going to spend eternity suffering and torment. But Jesus walks up to you and says, I have already paid your sentence for you. I want you to accept my love and forgiveness for your sin. It offended me and my Father, but I paid your sentence for you anyway. You can either accept my payment or you can go ahead and serve your sentence. Which will it be? Are you going to trust and believe in me, or are you going to go to hell? I want to ask somebody this morning, what will you do? Will you accept what Jesus did for you? Can you see what the word is laying down? All your life you've been hearing these Bible stories about how Jesus was born in the manger and he lived a sinless life. You've heard what he taught and what he did and how he was beaten and bruised, how he was tormented and mocked, how God poured out his wrath on Jesus as he hung on the cross and he shed his blood for you and for me. You've heard all that before. But have you ever come to a place in your life where you realize that he did that just for you? He did that because you were guilty and condemned, and he did it so you wouldn't have to serve out your sentence. Why not admit you need that you need a Savior today and call on the Lord Jesus to save you?
Amen.
Now, some of you today are saved. You don't feel so helpless or hopeless. But I want to remind you that every time you sin against the Lord, you give your adversary room to drag you back before him, back out into the open where he can accuse you of your guilt. Do you think that just because you are saved that God overlooks our sin? Do you think that being saved gives us cause to deal lightly with it? The writer of Hebrews told us that Jesus ever lived to make intercessions for us. Do you realize what that means? It means that even in our state of being saved from hell, the only hope and the only help that we have is our attorney, Lord Jesus, who stands before the throne of God pleading on our behalf. When we sin and we are guilty, the only reason we are safe is because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins. So can't nobody get smug with God or man. Don't grow comfortable in your pitiful condition. You remember not only that Jesus was what he does for you, but what he does for you every day of your life. Not keeping you safe, but pleading your case before the Lord. Where would we be today if it were not for Jesus being on our side? Where would we be today if we had not had an encounter with Jesus? Hallelujah. And once we have encountered grace and we are truly pressing towards heaven, I want you to know the third and final thing I want to talk to you today about is there is no turning back. Do you remember that Jesus told the man to take up a bedroll? The man was to walk away from that place, and he was to stay gone. Jesus wanted him to burn his bridge. Jesus told this woman to do the same thing. Look at verse 11. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, don't go back. I forgive you. You've got a new lease on life. Listen to me, people. When Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was baptized, or he was immersed in the wrath of the Almighty God. A baptism that belonged to us. A wrath that belonged to us. But when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, hallelujah, the immersion was counted toward us. In other words, when God looked upon Jesus' suffering, when God looked upon Jesus as was hanging on the cross, he was seeing us. Go to Romans 6, and I'm going to show you something. Romans 6:3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death." Do you see that? The word says when we were baptized, we were baptized into Jesus Christ. It doesn't say nothing about when we got in the water. No. It says, but when you accepted him as your Savior, you were baptized in him. When you accepted him, you were baptized in his death. That's why the Bible says that his death was reckoned unto you or accounted unto you. I'm going to keep reading this a little bit more because it's getting good to me. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, we should not serve sin. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. This is so beautiful. Let me tell y'all something. I'm going to keep it real, and I'm going to keep it transparent. Way back in 1979, I found myself in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my sins were exposed. You see, things in my life that I thought were secret, I found out they weren't so secret. And I discovered that I was guilty before God. And I heard how I deserved to die. I heard how my sin was a capital offense before the holy and just God. And I want to tell you that until that moment, I really didn't think there was anything wrong with my life or me. But oh, did I find out different. I felt just like that woman, naked and exposed. And I stood there, a good hot mess before the Lord. Now, he didn't write in the dirt that day, but I did see in his word where he had written that he loved me and that he died for me and that I didn't have to die if I would just admit to myself and to him that I couldn't do anything to help myself. Praise God, all I could do was throw myself at the feet of Jesus and plead for mercy. You see, I had been going to Sunday school. My mother had Bible studies in the home. We went to church. Okay. I had an intellectual knowledge of Jesus. I had a historical knowledge of Jesus. But I didn't have that soul saving. Hallelujah. Faith. On that day, God reckoned the sacrifice that he made for my life. And this is what the word said to me. On this day, you have been buried with Jesus Christ into death. Now I want you to get up, and I want you to walk a new life. And all trust and believe that it is a moment by moment, hour by hour, daily process. But that's what the Bible teaches. Take up your bed, roll, and walk. Go and sin no more. Walk in the newness of life. Where are you this morning? Are you still messing around in your sin? Are you comfortable in the sin that you're in? Are you still denying what you've done? Are you still making excuses? Are you still trying to justify what you're doing? Are you standing there before Jesus this morning? Just a good hot mess? Well, I want to know, what's keeping you from giving your life to? What's keeping you from living the new life that Jesus offers you? I want you to come today and admit your helplessness and admit your hopelessness. Come today and encounter Jesus, who did not come into this world to condemn it, came into the world to save it. Hallelujah. He came into this world to set us free. Now, if you're being set free today, I got a word for you too. Are you walking in that freedom? Are you walking in the newness of life? Are you surrendering your life daily to the Spirit of God and allowing the presence of God to be lived out through you? Perhaps today your greatest need is to simply go to the altar and thank Jesus for what he's done for you. You see, we've all sinned. We've all been there where the woman was. Put yourself in her shoes. How would you feel if there you stood, somebody came and drugged you all down through Oakland, or somebody came and drugged you all down through Huddle, or somebody came and drugged you all around St. Louis, if somebody came and drugged you all around Chicago, telling everybody your business, all the things you have done, how would you feel? But you see, Jesus offers, you don't have to feel that way. Jesus offers grace. All you have to do is make him your Lord and Savior. When you fall short, all you have to do is say, fix me, Jesus. Don't go up there telling God to fix somebody else. Go up there and tell God, please, fix me, Jesus. Amen. I want to be like you. I want to cut the cord on everything that's not like you. I want to get rid of everything in my life that doesn't glorify you. Lord, fix me. Hallelujah. I know that if I sin and fall short, you're still going to love me. But because I love you so much, I don't want to be anything but what you want me to be. I don't want to do anything but what you want me to do. So I want to stand here this morning. I'm going to examine myself on the daily. And Lord God, I'm asking that you search me. And if you find anything in me that's not like you, I want you to create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit, Father God, because I don't want anything separating me from you. So I pray, God, that you gave us this encounter with this woman, because way too many people today that are in the church, they're having an affair with the world. They got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. If you don't, they want to go to church on Sunday, but they want to go on Sunday morning, but they still want to gossip Sunday afternoon. They want to go to prayer meeting on Wednesday, but they still want to fornicate Thursday night. My Lord, they want to go to the deacon's meeting, but they still want to drink their drink and smoke their cigar. Or they still want to covet what their neighbor has. People in the church are quick to point out the faults of others while forgetting their own faults.
So before you place your finger at somebody, you better recognize you got three pointing back at you. And you better go to Jesus and ask him to make you clean, to give you new life, to help you to walk in the newness that he has offered you. And I'm here to tell you this morning, saints of God, it's all going to be worth it. So I just pray that this morning you receive something that has blessed you. And now I'm going to turn this worship service over to the worshipers. And we're all going to touch and agree. And if you would also like to touch and agree or add your praise, kindly press your one. And that will let us know that you would like to add your voice to this conversation, to this praise time, to this worship time. Hallelujah. And to God be the glory. But in the meantime, while I wait and I, because I am over here doing my producer thing, I will have to scroll and look for ones, and I'll have to look in the chat room. But while we're doing that, we're going to hear from some of the saints of God here at Spirit Alive. So this morning, we're going to start with Apostle Edwin Holloway, and then Prophet Tess Holloway, if she would like to have a word. Amen.
Praise the Lord, sir. We give God praise for the word today. We thank God for the Jesus coming and God forgiving us of our sins and our shortcomings. We can go back to the Father. If we stubble our toe, we go back to the Father, and we can go back and repent again. So we give God praise for an advocate that will stand between us and the Father and will intercede for us, that we will be able to stay pure, stay holy. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. I give God the glory today for the word of God. And while you were ministering that word, Bishop, daughter, I thought about a song we used to sing in the choir. He dropped the charges. Jesus dropped the charges.
Yeah.
And I thank God that he dropped the charges, because none of us was perfect. We were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We were shaped by the world. We were doing everything we could do. But I thank God for salvation. I thank God for forgiving me. I thank God for even on today in our lives, once we get saved, we can go back to the Father to receive help in our time of need and to repent again, to repent for things, you know.
Amen. That's good.
That we haven't done or that we did good. But that's good. God is good to us. And I just thank God, and I thank the Lord for what you said about having an intellectual knowledge of Jesus. That's really something. That's really big. We were talking, Apostle and I were talking about that the other day. And as you said, we can't just know him intellectually. We got to know him personally.
Yeah.
I just thank the Lord for the word today. We love y'all. Amen.
We love you too. Amen. All right, Evangelist Michelle, come on into the room. Praise God.
Thank you so much, Bishop. I just want to thank God for the message and the messenger. And, you know, like you say, it's not just in the church, the brick and mortars, but it's even in our families. You know, we so people are just so quick to, you know, help you in your sin. Even our family members, they will help you in the sin, but they will omit that they were there with you, you know, committing the sin. But then they want to drive you off into the doom, you know. And like, you know, I just was reminded when I was in the, you know, brick and mortar when we were able to attend church, and it used to just hurt my soul when that young girl would come into the church after she may have been out all night in the club, or that drunkard would come in, you know, smelling of liquor, and the people would move away and all these things, forgetting that they're, you know, still probably drink or may have used to drink. They're forgetting about their past on that older woman now that can't shake it like she used to, forgetting what she used to do, the sins of her past.
Yeah, come on, say that.
Instead of her not sliding over there, caressing that young woman, putting a prayer cloth over her lap to cover up her showing flesh, one of the deacons, instead of caressing that young man and testifying and you know, praying with him and telling them and testifying of his, you know, past and letting him know that Jesus Christ died for you. And if he could do it for me, brother, he could do it for you. And if that older sister can tell that young woman, look, baby, I've been there, okay? I know that God
did. That's good, Michelle.
And I used to do the same thing, honey. But at least you came into the church. Yeah, you might have been out there partying all night, but you brought yourself into this church. So I know you want to. You want to change your life around. See, we need to stop condemning, and we need to start mending.
Start loving.
Don't condemn. We need to mend.
Yes.
We need to start mending the lives of these people that at least build up enough courage to step into these churches. We need to mend the ones who build up enough courage to call in to the prayer lines and stuff. Because it takes a lot of courage to dial those digits. You understand? It takes a lot of courage to walk in knowing that they know they smell. They know. She knows her dress is short. But they picked up the courage, and you may have just tore up months and months of building courage. It took them months, maybe years, maybe, to build up the courage to even walk in your doors. Now you tore down all of that by just a dirty look. They can hear your comments. So, Church of God,
amen.
People of God, we need to stop being so selfish and evil-minded and forgetting God picked us up just like he picked that woman up, and he dusted us off, and he forgave us. So we need to start helping these people. We need to stop acting like the alcohol. So what if the stench gets on us? That's what soap and water is for. Just like Jesus dusted us off and washed us off, we need to start dusting these people off and washing them off. Thank you
again,
Bishop. I love you so much.
Ooh, that was good. Hallelujah. That was good right there.
Yeah.
That was a good word right there. Hallelujah. Mother Mitchell, come on into the room. I'm still looking, so Mother Mitchell, come on into the room.
I just thank God, Bishop, for the message. It's one of the messages that I loved to read when I was little. I didn't understand all about sin, but I knew there was something about it that I needed to stay away from. And, you know, I studied and researched a little bit because I wanted to know. I was always curious. I wondered what Jesus wrote was writing in the ground. And different scholars have different things to say about that, but I believe, as always, since Jesus made no reputation for himself, he was writing and asking our Heavenly Father about the situation. And, you know, when Jesus talks to the Father, they understand what's happening sometimes better than we do. So when I'm in and standing in that place of the prostitute, of the woman who had sinned and was caught in her sin, pray that my Father, Jesus, will write and something in the soil and ask God that I will be set free from my sin and that he will release me, just like he did the woman in the first century. Because, you know, if you are never released from your sin and you live in shame, you will never know who you can be in Christ unless you know how to live in Christ. Thank you, Bishop.
That was good, Mother Mitchell. That was real good. Amen. All right, Evangelist Kathy Horton, please come on in the room.
God bless you. God bless you all. That Bishop and
there.
All that spoke, you thoroughly went through that. That was just beautiful. I mean, God bless the message and God bless the messengers, because you all brought beautiful
you.
Messages.
Yes, yes.
You know, all I got to say is to those that are listening that don't know the Lord, you tried it your way. How's it
mm-hmm.
working?
Ha.
Try Jesus. See, the
yeah.
Bible goes on, so Jesus said he's the light. Okay, and he that follow him shall come out of darkness, and you don't have to walk in darkness. They judged her according to the flesh. Jesus showed her mercy and love. And that's what he has
yes.
to offer you, those who are listening. That's what he's offering
yes.
you right now. Okay, what people
right
said
now.
Or done, or what you said or done, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. If you want a better
yes.
life, if you want a better way, I recommend you try my Jesus. And again, God
yes.
bless all you messengers. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you, Evangelist Kathy.
Amen.
I am just thrilled because next month, saints of God, you got to tune in every Sunday, because you are going to hear these dynamos preaching and teaching all month during the month of November. These are anointed servants of God. The word is in them. You can hear the anointing when they speak. And I, for one, intend to take full advantage of it. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to go to Sister Diane Williams. Would you like to have a word? And then we'll go to Apostle Zeta. Amen. Sister Diane Williams, would you like to have a word this morning, dear? Okay. Well, let us go to Apostle Zeta. Apostle Zeta, come on in the room, beloved.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The message was good, and I think that we need to hear this message from time to time. I really paid attention to, I enjoyed all the comments. The message was
yeah.
great. But every single comment that I heard, one of the things that stood out was what Evangelist Kathy said, Jesus showed mercy. And, you
yeah.
know, and he always does. And I think that sometimes we forget that he showed us mercy. We, too,
yeah.
are to be merciful. Now,
yeah.
these men took this woman because they thought she was really going to get it. You know, for what she did, but they ended up being convicted by their own conscience, and as it says in the word, the scripture says that they left one by one, beginning with the oldest one, even down until the last, and so Jesus was left there alone. He was there alone, and the woman standing in the midst. You know, we all, as someone else has said, we all have fallen short from the glory of God. You know, there was a time for each one of us to have an encounter with Jesus. But the reason we needed the encounter was that we were sinful.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a reason for it. But, you know, we know there are times that the Lord is beckoning us all to come to him in our state, whatever state, you know, we're in, or whatever sin we're committing before we get saved. And so there is always some kind of encounter for us, thank God. And that, and again, that's the mercy of God, you know, allowing us to come to him in the pardoning of our sins so that we can be set free. And the Bible tells us that when he sets us free, we are free indeed. Free to do whatever we want to do, but free to serve him, free to live for him, free to walk upright before him, you know, free
yeah.
to reconcile others to him as well, because that's what we are to do. So, you know, and in our walk with the Lord, we can't point our fingers at anyone because whatever it is that brought us, I mean, whatever sin we committed, it was the Lord that had mercy upon us and brought us out
yes.
of it. And so I like Evangelist Michelle said, is that, you know, we need to be mending, not
condemning.
That is something that we all can take stock of, is to to try to mend. We see a situation where we can help, then we help. If somebody's hurting, then we want to make sure that we can heal. That the mercy that God had upon us, that we are showing forth that mercy upon another. Now, what the woman did, well, first of all, her life was spared in this whole situation. It was a good thing. They thought they were getting her into more trouble, but it was a good thing. They didn't even realize bringing her to Jesus, because they certainly brought her to the right one, even though they didn't recognize themselves. So
amen.
There's always some kind of way that is made for us to come to Him, and that's a good, you know. And so that happens for every one of us, that we can get to Him if we desire to. And when we reject others that try to bring us to Jesus, when we try to bring others to Jesus and they reject, it's not about us anyway. They're rejecting Him.
It's about Him. Yes, amen.
Right.
Yes.
Gonna stop here.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen. Unto God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, my brothers and sisters, you have heard the anointed servants of God bring a word. And I know you often think, well, Bishop, why do you do that? Why do you let everybody speak every Sunday? I do that because all of us that are called, we have been given people that we are supposed to reach for the kingdom. They have the same anointing that I have. They serve the same Jesus that I serve. They have the same Holy Spirit living on the inside of them as I do. They are all servant leaders as I am. So it is my heart's desire to make sure that we minister as a family, that we touch and agree, because the power is in our unity. The power is in the demonstration of love and respect that you hear each and every Sunday morning here at the Spirit Alive Network. We are not about getting the credit. We are about giving God the glory. And the more of us that are giving God glory, the more of us that are praising God, the more of us that are testifying to His goodness, the sooner we will draw, God can draw people unto Himself. The Word of God declares and decrees that we who are spiritual, if we find our brothers in a fault, we who are spiritual are to restore them in love. So I really like all the comments that I heard today, because people are good about pointing out your faults and forgetting their own. We are the church is good at condemning and not mending. So what it creates is a bunch of shameful people that are scared to return to the church. So we got to be, you know, so we have to understand that when we condemn, when we judge, we are cutting off the life force for that new convert. We may be cutting off the very root, the pulling up the very roots of that person's faith. So, and we will be held accountable for that. So we must show grace. We must show love. We must show mercy. And we have to remember that we too sin and we too fall short. So when you find somebody in a fault, put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel if you were there? How would you want somebody to speak to you or to correct you? Now, you have heard all these wonderful speakers. Hallelujah, these anointed servants, you've heard a message. And if you are out there this morning, and as Evangelist Kathy said, you've been trying it your way, you tried it, you tried it, you tried it, and nothing's working. Well, we suggest that you try Jesus. We suggest that you go to Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior. And no, you don't have to put on your best duds. And no, you don't have to wait till the COVID-19 is over so you can go to a church. We are not inviting you to join a church. We are inviting you to begin a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are asking that you get to know your first love, the one that loved you first and the loved one that loved you best. We want you to experience the love, the grace, the peace, and the mercy of the Most High God. We want you to know the provisions of the Most High God. We want you to have courage and stand tall in these troubled times. And the only way that you're going to do that is with an invisible means of support, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So all you have to do is go to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. For I believe that you are the Son of the living God. All that I am and ever will be, I now want to commit unto thee. Come into my life and save me for your name's sake, so I can join the ranks of the kingdom and give God the glory. And then you put the stamp on that. You say, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm still scrolling. There's about 100 people up in here today. I still don't see any ones. So if there be nothing else, hallelujah, we are going to allow Mother Mitchell to bring us the benediction, and I will dismiss you. I want to once again thank all of the Spirit Alive family for those anointed comments. Again, I'm looking forward to hearing all of you next month and, again, some more of you in January. So I just praise God for all that we have heard today. I just praise God for this opportunity, and I praise God for all of you that tuned in to listen this morning. So, Mother Mitchell, at this time, would you please bring us the benediction, and I will dismiss you.
Thank you, Bishop. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.
Amen and amen. Let the Church of God say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This has been Bishop Shalene Cook and the Spirit Alive family, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle and Prophet Tess Holloway. Hallelujah, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Evangelist Cassie Horton, and then we have our sister that's a watchman on the wall. Hallelujah, Sister Diane Williams. We pray that you have heard something that truly encouraged you today and has edified you today, and we also pray that you would just continue to walk, to build your relationship with Christ Jesus. Acknowledge him in all that you do. And from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that ye be ye transformed. Now go in peace. You are dismissed. But remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Amen.
Until we speak again, everybody. Amen. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
You are dismissed. Hallelujah. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. We love you. God bless you.
Love you all. Love you.